good to be here tonight. And I've turned, please, first of all, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I would like to just add to what I've heard tonight. I've really been blessed by the testimonies and the grandmothers giving testimony and sons giving testimonies about their fathers and grandfathers. And, you know, when I come away for a weekend like this and hopefully be of some blessing through the ministry of the Word of God, but I think the blessing really is falls with me to go away and to see with my eyes and hear the testimonies and to be able to go back home refreshed and challenged and encouraged to stay with it and keep with it and just do the same old thing. And hopefully fulfill that great commission and out and about and rustling the bushes and hoping to see people saved and then discipling them and brought into the local church and growing in Christ. Blessing to see the old grey-headed man down on the right down here, and he won't mind me saying, and I said, "How long have you been here, brother?" He said, 35 years. And, you know, we talk about pastors and missionaries and the importance of faithfulness. You know what is a blessing to me to see guys like this guy down here and through all that Metropolitan Church has gone through, and to see a man stay by the staff is just a challenge to my own heart, let me tell you. And it's very rare today, very rare. And so Ephesians chapter 6, to finish off, round off our messages for the weekend. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, finishing up the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, there is just so much in this passage of Scripture. We are obviously not going to be able to give it the attention that I would like to. But I'm mainly this evening I want to focus on just verse 14 and the putting on the girdle of truth. Putting on the girdle of truth in a world today where you and I, particularly those of you maybe in business, out in the workforce, the temptation just to cut corners a little bit and just to be a little bit deceitful. And I want to talk about that verse, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. I mean, there's six pieces of armour here. There's a sermon in each piece of the armour. And this is one of my favourite passages of the Bible. And I've preached through here at camps and various places over the years. And six messages in the six pieces there from verses 13 down to 17 or adding 18 there. All right, in chapter 5, we spoke about the roles of husbands and wives. We spoke about the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God, particularly in our human relationships, particularly there in Ephesians 5, in our relationships with our spouses. The thought continues in chapter 6. Just take out the chapter division, and the thought continues in the lives of children, fathers, servants, and masters. Interesting, isn't it, to me? Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents, the Bible says. But verse 2 takes that a step further, and it places a higher command on it. A higher command. Honor your father and your mother. A child can be obedient to their parents on the outside, but inside there's a rebellious spirit on the inside. For a young person to honour their father and their mother is to genuinely love and respect them for who they are, that they are God's vehicles that have brought you into this world. And by the way, honouring your parents doesn't stop as you get out of the child, teenage years, and as you grow into adulthood. Honouring your parents is for the whole time of while they are on this earth. When the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross, he honoured his mother and made provision for her. And there's every chance that at this point in time when he's on the cross that Mary's husband, Joseph, has passed away at some stage. And in John 19, verses 26 and 27, the Lord Jesus says to his mother, behold thy son, pointing to the Apostle John. And then in verse 22 of John chapter 19, he says to John, behold thy mother. And from that day, that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. In the dying moments of the Lord Jesus Christ, he honoured and cared for his mother. Young people, you need to honour your parents, and to do that, you need to be, can children be filled with the Spirit of God, Christian children? My word, they can, and they need to be. Children, if you are going to honour your parents and to love your parents, genuinely love them, not just obeying and yes, mum and yes, dad, but to genuinely honour your parents, you need to be walking with the Lord. Yes, you do. Walking with the Lord. Filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers, we can't be what we ought to be to our children unless we're filled with the Spirit of God. And one of the biggest tests of my life, God testing me with my children. And the challenge it is to bring children into the world today. And they don't give you a manual when you come home from the hospital with your children. This is how you are to raise them, and this is how you're to raise them before God. We've got the manual here, the Word of God, but we just need God's help. And I've needed God's help over the years in how to deal with my children, certain situations. And I've needed all the grace and the help. And it's been a challenge to me in my life. And I'm sure I've failed many times and done and said things that I look back now and think I should never have said that. And some of the words that maybe have crushed my children, and without thought or care, and in a, maybe a fit of anger. And so, fathers, we're going to raise our children. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Yes, we do. Same with the servants. Same with the workers in the workforce, verses 5 to 8. Same with the masters. Got a business and you've got people working under you. You need to be a person who is filled with the Spirit of God. And then we're going to look at the closing thoughts of the letter, verses 10 to 24, mainly looking at that verse, verse 14. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing it has been for me to be amongst these folks this weekend. Thank you for the invitation of the pastor to be able to come away and to enjoy the fellowship, the fun, the fellowship, and been a wonderful time. Go home with the memories and the folks, Lord, and the people are so important. And Lord, we just thank you for this time now tonight. Thank you for the time we've spent in the Word of God. Speak to our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in these verses we see the spiritual battle that we enter into the moment we accept Christ as our Saviour. We are not casual attenders in this battle that we're in. We are actually in the arena. Apostle Paul, including himself, says the personal pronoun there, verse 12, for we wrestle, saying to the believers at Ephesus, we're in this battle together. Okay? And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not in the physical or the tangible, but is of a spiritual nature. And of course, the weapons of our warfare are not, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And, you know, the weapons of our warfare and the Word of God and prayer, and so important in our lives. And here in chapter 6, God has given us instruction to put on 6 pieces of armour that will protect us against, verse 11, the wiles of the devil. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? The wiles of the devil. The devil is very crafty and very, very, very subtle. The way he goes about causing division and causing problems. And we're going to see tonight in a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 5 how he was working in the lives of, more than likely, I think, Christian people, in the lives of Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 16, the armour is for the fire, against the fiery darts of the wicked. And of course, just like the Roman soldier would put on his armour in the morning, prepared for a day of battle, so too you and I as believers are told to put on the whole armour of God. Take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so, as I said before, we're not going to have time to look at all the 6 pieces of the armour, but we just will address this first one, and then we're done for tonight. And I realise I've been at camp for the weekend, and folks are probably tired, so we won't be... not too long. We'll be a little while, but not too long. All right? My folks know back home when I say that, there's about another half an hour to go. In Roman soldiers' armour, the girdle, the belt, would hold together the lower parts of the armour with the upper parts, probably namely the breastplate. Truth and truthfulness ought to be an outstanding characteristic of the new believer in Jesus Christ. Deceitfulness and dishonesty ought to have no place in the life of the child of God. Deceitfulness and dishonesty ought to have no place in the life of the child of God. Go with me, please. We see a graphic illustration in Acts chapter 5, and if you could go there with me, please. Acts chapter 5. You probably know the story. By the time we get to Acts chapter 5 in the Bible, we're going through Acts in our Sunday school back home, and I've put together a one-hour lecture notes about, I can't remember how many there is, maybe 30 of them out of my studies in the book of Acts, and so we're going through Acts in Sunday school on Sunday mornings. But here in Acts chapter 5, by the time we get to this chapter, the church at Jerusalem had grown by the thousands. And people were selling their lands. Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Neither was there any lack among them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And so the need in Jerusalem was great, and people were selling their houses and their lands, and they were bringing the money to the apostles. And the apostles were distributing the money according to the needs of the people, verse 42. Sorry, did I say verse 35. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to his as he had need. Now there was a couple in the church, you probably know who they are, they're a husband and wife. Their names are Ananias and Sapphira, and they too had land, and they sold the land. And verse 2 of Acts chapter 5 says they kept back part of what they had agreed to give, and they brought the money to the apostles. Now, it seems to me that they said to the church, we've got some land, we're going to sell the land, and we'll give you the money. And they did. But when they got the money in their hands, they had a change of heart. In Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, the Bible says, if a man vows a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And it's an interesting thought, isn't it, about being careful about what we say. And, you know, we're very flippant, aren't we, with sometimes the words we say. Oh, brother, how you go? I have to have you over for tea sometime. When people say that to me, I say, well, which night this week? You know? But we have that tendency, don't we, to be, and it causes us, it should cause us, this verse in Numbers should cause us to be careful and thoughtful about what we say. Verses 3 and 4 of Acts chapter 5, the Apostle Peter confronts this man and rebukes him to his face. He does the same with his wife in verses 8 and 9. A sharp rebuke. And let's just pause here for a moment. I ask myself the question, what were these people's motives? Why did they make this pledge and then all of a sudden hold back some of the price of the money that they'd pledged? Why did they do this? Well, we can't really be sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe they'd seen Barnabas bring his gifts and the recognition the church gave to Barnabas. Maybe it was a case of Diotrephes in 3 John verse 9, and they were desiring to have the preeminence in the church. We can't be exactly sure of their motives, but one thing we can be sure of this, The devil was working behind the scenes. Notice verse 3. Peter says to this man, why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart? Or we could say it like this. Why have you allowed Satan ground in your life and you have succumbed to him? Can Christians succumb to the devil's wiles and he subtly? They sure can. The devil is subtle. He's very good at what he does. And many times the attack on the church, it's not the drunk fellow walking by throwing the beer bottle through the window. The attack on the church comes from within. The Apostle Paul said this to the elders at Ephesus, when I'm gone from here, the grievous wolves will come in from among you. From among you. From within. It's a bit scary, isn't it? Churches are very fragile places. Doesn't take much to disrupt the spirit of a church like this. A wonderful spirit. It doesn't take much. A little seed in the heart of one person, a seed of bitterness, a seed of deceitfulness creeping in. It doesn't take much, folks. I asked myself the question, were these people saved or were they not saved? I'm not sure if you've ever thought about that, Pastor Mario. Were these people saved or were they not saved? Originally, I thought these people could be tares sown in the church there by the devil to disrupt the church, planted in there by the devil. But it also could be very well that they were saved people. I mean, they were capable of getting in the flesh and being deceitful and dishonest, just like you and I are. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And sometimes that scourging and chastening can mean death for God's people. Sometimes. The believers of Corinth abusing the Lord's Supper, the Bible says some of them slept, which means they died. 1 John 5:16 says there is a sin amongst God's people unto death. A sin unto death. And if I could say it like this, sometimes God will remove a believer out of this world prematurely, so to speak, if I could use that word. It happens. Were they saved or were they not saved? I'm not sure. But I do know this, God's swift and sure hand of judgment was upon them. Verse 5 of Acts chapter 5 and verses 8 and 10 says they gave up the ghost. It means that there was literally no more breath in them. It reminded me of Daniel's words to Nebuchadnezzar the very night he died. Daniel 5:23 said, the God in whose hand thy breath is. And as the young man down here gave testimony, we're all here and we're only here, but by the grace of God. You don't wake up tomorrow morning without the grace of God and giving you the very energy and the breath within and the heart beating and the breath within your lungs. The God in whose hand thy breath is. And God made a statement to the church at that time and he said, that's it. Dead on the spot, these people. You might say, well, harsh treatment. Well, we need to be reminded, folks, tonight, God was making a statement. This is my church. I paid for it with the blood of my own son. It's the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I will not tolerate dishonesty or deceitfulness in my church. God was making a statement. Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's a good verse to know regarding any situation, any tragedy, heartache, anything in your life, God shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Romans 12:17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. 1 Timothy 2:1-3, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour. Many years ago, my wife and I were introduced to a man in Melbourne, a man who was an accountant. His name was Bob Alabaster. He was the accountant for Frederick Alley Baptist Church for many, many years. He's a very godly man. He worked 6 days a week and he drove the Church of Christ Sunday School bus on Sunday mornings. And he became our church accountant and our personal accountant. One day he sat us, my wife and I, in his office in the early days when we first got to meet him. And he was the sort of guy, when you sat in his office, he never looked at his watch. And he would sit there and time was no issue. He gave you his undivided attention. He told us a testimony of his life. He said when he was a teenager, he contracted a disease and he was hospitalized for 2 years. 2 years. The doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with him. And after 2 years in the hospital, he came to a place in his life where he was, as a young man, 16 or 17 years of age, he got to a place where he was totally desperate. And he remembers as clear as a day, he remembers breaking down and weeping and saying to the Lord, Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise you I will be totally honest in all for the rest of my life in all my dealings with God and man. And he was crying in the hospital bed and he had a nurse come by, saw him crying, and she came over to him. And she said to him, I understand that you're a young Christian man. And she said to him, don't you believe God can heal you? And he said to us in his office that day, he said, you know, that was just the medicine that I needed. And 2 weeks later, he walked out of that hospital. He's a 90-year-old man, still practicing accountancy. And he walked out of that hospital that day and he said, to this day, to us, when we're sitting there in those chairs by his office, he said to Simone and I, to this day, I'm none the wiser what was wrong with me. He said to us, over the years I've had big companies, CEOs of big companies come to me with their books and their ledgers and put them on the desk and say to me, this is how we want you to do it. And he said, I gently push the books back across the desk and say to them, you've got the wrong man. As we drove home from his office that day, I said to my wife, whatever advice this man gives to me, and he's given me advice that I didn't like, but I knew it was good for me. And I've applied it, and I've no regrets. And I said to my wife, whatever advice this man gives to us regarding our finances, the financing the church, everything like that, I said, Simone, we are going to take it. We are going to do it. And I've no regrets. And I want to remind us tonight that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There is no room, no room for deceitfulness and dishonesty. In fact, deceitfulness and dishonesty is a characteristic of unsaved people. All liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you just for this simple truth, the piece of armour. We see these folks in the New Testament, they took off the armour of God. They allowed Satan ground in their lives. And Lord, we live in this world today and we know of the temptation just to be a little bit deceitful. Just to be a little bit deceitful and get the upper hand in a business deal or for the sake of the almighty dollar. And Lord, we need to trust in you and just to do what's right until the stars fall. And Lord, I know this would be nothing new to these folks, but many times there are things that we just need to be reminded of. To be upfront, straight down the line in all our dealings with God and man, and we'll just let the chips fall where they will, so to speak, Lord. We thank you for our time in the Word of God. We thank you for the Word of God, the encouragement, the blessing, challenge sometimes to our hearts. And Lord, bless the rest of our evening, our time of fellowship with some tucker to eat. Bless our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.